This morning's sermon is called, I Was Blind, Now I See, from John chapter 9, verse 13 through 25. As we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Come on, you guys sleeping? I've repeated this so many times. Chapter 9 is all one continued story from beginning to end. This is all devoted, this chapter, to this blind man. Last Sunday we read, Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked Jesus, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. We read that last Sunday in our passage, verse 1 through 3. During this time, many people believed that suffering was always a direct punishment from sin. The disciples assumed that someone must be at fault that this man was born blind. What the disciples were expressing here was very common back then, and it is still very common today. We tend to think when something bad happens to us or someone else that, oh, must be because I sinned and this is a direct punishment from the Lord. We sometimes tend to think like that. I remember hearing a guy say before, Oh, I'm having a bad week. I got a speeding ticket this week. He said, it's probably because I haven't been to church in 3 or 4 weeks. I was like, no, you got a speeding ticket because you were speeding. Nothing to do with going to church. So this was kind of their way of thinking, and a lot of people still think that way. In this passage, Jesus wasn't saying that this man and his parents had never sinned. That's not what he was saying, because we know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Romans 3:23. What Jesus was saying, this man wasn't born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin. It wasn't a direct punishment to why he was blind, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Whoa. Now, this is important to understand, and I should have mentioned this last Sunday as we went through the passage. God allowed this man to be born blind, but he didn't directly cause it to happen. There's a big difference between God allowing it and causing it. God is not an evil God. Yes, he will allow things to happen, but he didn't directly cause this man to be born blind. God allowed it for this very day, as we read through the scriptures, that the works of God should be revealed in him. And God would heal this man, and God would get the glory. And that this blind man would come to Christ and be a light for Jesus Christ, be a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to talk about sickness and suffering for a minute before we go through our passage, because we're all affected by it. I mentioned last Sunday that everybody has an opinion about suffering and sickness and disease and deformity and pain and death. There's all kinds of theories. Suffering and sickness have dominated life in this world since the fall of Adam and Eve, which means all of humanity. We are all infected and affected by the sin virus. But it's important for you to know, and I'm sure you know, God did not originally create a broken world. God didn't create a sinful world. God created a perfect world. And after creating it, God declared, "It is good." And God made man and a woman, and he said, "It is good." And he put them in a garden, and he said, "Oh, is good. But when we get to Genesis chapter 3, we find out what brought all of that to an end. And it was the sin that was committed there in the garden, which has now been rolling through life, society, and the human race. And from that moment, we entered into brokenness. We've entered into a sinful world. And so sin is ultimately behind this man's condition of blindness, because sin is behind all brokenness and suffering, and which is contrary to the will of God. God did not create blindness in human beings. Sin brought all sicknesses and disease to the forefront. So not all suffering is a direct link to our personal sin, but in many cases, just because of the very broken world we live in. And yes, God may allow you and I to go through some sufferings to draw us closer to Him, and that He would be glorified through us. Amen? And if God allowed us to go through some suffering, if God allowed it, it's okay. Because we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. In other words, something good is going to come out of that suffering, and God is going to get the glory. Amen? God is going to get the glory. Okay, that's just my intro, my warm-up. Listen, the Patriots don't start till 3 o'clock, so we got plenty of time, right? Picked a good day to have a meeting after the service. All right, let's go through the Word of God. If you brought your Bible with you, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 9. Gospel of John, chapter 9. Let's take a look at verses 13 and 15. They, this is his neighbors and his friends, the blind man, brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was the Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him, the blind man, again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I can see." Notice John wants us to know that this was done on the Sabbath. Jesus probably told him, make sure you note this, John. This is another one I did on the Sabbath in front of these Pharisees. Now, you notice in these three verses here, now instead of his neighbors and his friends rejoicing and saying, "Wow, you can see. Look at this miracle. We need to go find this man who healed your eyes." Instead, they basically say, "Wait a minute. This was done on the Sabbath. We better go get those religious guys. See what the rules and regulations are. I'm pretty sure this violates the Sabbath law, ABC 123-50. See how wretched these people? Do you see the power that these religious leaders had over these people? Instead of rejoicing for their friend, they say, whoa, wait a minute. This happened on a Sabbath. We better go get the big religious guy. This is the power that false religion has over the people. It steals your joy of being in Christ. God hates, and yes, hates man-made religion. False religion. Why? Because it deceives people. And they go off and be lost. And they belong to a false religion that has control over them. Oh, you better do this or you better do that. Did you do the 12-step program? No. Well, you can't come up here then and get communion. You got to go through this program. Others, you got to knock on doors. You want to make it into heaven. It's blasphemy against God. And God hates these false religions because they deceive the people. Let's just talk about the Sabbath. So many people have taken the Sabbath out of context, especially these religious folks. Jesus tells us exactly what the Sabbath is in Mark 2:27. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? Glad you asked. The Sabbath was given to man to be a day of rest. To have a day off. To be a blessing, not a burden. Not a burden. These religious leaders turned the Sabbath into a bunch of rules and regulations, which became a severe burden on the people. That was never God's intention when he set up the Sabbath. You know what God told Israel? Just don't work. Take a day off. Rest up. This is a blessing for you. And let the land rest too. That's it. That's the Sabbath. Take a day off. It's a blessing from me to you. Just take a day off. Rest up. This was an old covenant. This was an Old Testament covenant, by the way, God made with Israel. Okay? Rest up, take a day off, that's it. As born-again believers in Jesus Christ, in the new covenant, Jesus says, you come to me and rest in me, I'm your Sabbath. You rest in me daily. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11. Jesus gives us a clear picture of him being our Sabbath rest. Jesus couldn't explain this any easier. The new covenant Sabbath rest in Jesus Christ. I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 11. Resting in Christ daily. I'll let you guys get there, man. I still hear some pages. First book in the New Testament, Matthew. I want you to go down to verse 28 and 30. You guys know this passage very well. Listen to what Jesus said. Verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor, which means are weary, and are heavy laden, which means heavily burdened by your sin. And I will give you rest, salvation. 29, verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen? We rest in Christ daily. He is our Sabbath rest. Jesus Christ, we rest in him daily. These Pharisees, they loved having control over the people. They loved their man-made religion, rules, and regulations. And it put a great burden on the people. Jesus said, just come to me. Just come. We've been reading the Gospels now for a while. Jesus says, just come to me. Just believe in me. Just trust in me, and I'll give you rest. in me. I will give you eternal life in me. That simple? Yes. That simple, if you mean it. If you mean it. Let's take a look at verses 16 and 17 in our passage. Verse 16 says, therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them, among the Pharisees. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, Jesus? Because he opened your eyes. The blind man said, he's a prophet. He still doesn't know who Jesus is, but he's going to find out in our next passage next Sunday. Notice there was a division among the Pharisees. Some of the Pharisees were saying, there's no way this man is a godly man because he did a miracle on the Sabbath. That breaks our laws. Our man-made laws, not God's laws, their laws. But others, we got some hope for some of these folks, but others said, how can this man do such incredible things and not be a godly man? How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? At least some of them had some common sense. So they say, let's ask the blind man again. They begin to think this man wasn't even blind. They're just making all this stuff up. Take a look at verse 18 and 19. But the Jews, when they say John writes the Jews, that's the religious leaders. He's not talking about the Jewish people in general. When you see the Jews in his gospel, he refers to the Jews as the religious leaders, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the hypocrites, all them. Verse 18, he says, but the Jews, the religious leaders, did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, so they called over the parents now and they're saying, hey, is this boy your son? Who you say, you see that, what they say? Who you say was born blind? In other words, we don't believe it, but you say. How then does he see now? They start thinking this man was never blind to begin with. They think he's lying. Instead of rejoicing over the man, right? You see this? How wretched some people can get. So they called the parents over. They said, hey, is this your son here who you say was born blind? How does he now see? Let's take a look at their response in verses 20 and 23. His parents answered them and said, we know that he's our son and that he was born blind. That we know. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He's of age, ask him. He will speak for himself. Now, I don't know how old the guy was. Maybe he's 30, 40, I don't know. His parents, look at verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, the religious leaders. Imagine that. That's how much power these hypocrites had over these people. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared these religious leaders. Why? Look at the rest of it. For the Jews, the religious leaders, had agreed already that if anyone confess that Jesus was the Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He's of age, ask him." You see the power these guys had over these poor people? The burdens they put on these poor people who just wanted to serve the Lord. His parents were afraid to stand up for their own son because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was the Christ, he'd be put out of the synagogue. These religious people, these religious leaders told the people, if anyone stands up for Jesus, or if anyone associates with this man, you are never to come back in the temple, the synagogue. Terrible. And just so you know, if you were thrown out of the synagogue back then, people looked down at you and you pretty much got run out of town. You were like a heathen. This is why these parents, these poor parents, feared. If I stand up for Jesus, or I said Jesus is the one who did this to my son, they're going to throw us out of here. Let me just tell you this. If you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you stand up for Christ. If it cost you your friends, your family, you stand up for Christ. Amen? You've probably already lost friends being a Christian. That's okay. God sees. He sees exactly where you stand with him. If there's 100 people there and you're the only Christian, and they ask you, who here confesses Christ? You stand up. I do. I do. Parents didn't have it in them. They let fear power their faith. They couldn't even stand up for their own son in Christ. Man. Never be ashamed of your faith. You be a beacon. Jesus says, you go into the world, you be a light of the world for me. You be a light of the world. You be a light in a dark world, and that I would be glorified. That's why I said, like Kathy had mentioned her song, I mentioned last Sunday, everybody that knows you, if you're a true believer in Christ, they should know you're a Christian. Amen? By the way you act, by the way you talk, by the way you conduct yourself, walking around with Jesus apparel, hats with the cross on it, shirts, I love Christ, whatever it may be, you put yourself out there for Christ. He died for you. Jesus said, if anybody's ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of him in front of my Father in heaven. Let's take a look at our final verses, verses 24 and 25, and we'll close. So they again, they're going to go again. They're putting this kid through the paces, right? This is what false religion does to people. It just blinds them to the truth. Verse 24 says, so they again called the man who was blind. Hey, come over here. We still ain't buying it. And they said to him, give glory to God. We know this man's a sinner. Jesus. That's what he's saying, right? They tell this poor blind man, well, come over here, give glory to God. Not this man, not Jesus. We know he's a sinner. Not knowing that he's God in the flesh. He answered, I love this guy's answer. Look at his answer. What a great answer, verse 25. He answered and said to these hypocrites, whether he's a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. What a great response from this formerly blind man. All I know. This is how you should feel. Prior to coming to Christ, I was blind. But since coming to Christ, oh, I see. I see. What a simple testimony, huh? And right to the point. I mean, what a simple testimony this man gives to these Pharisees. I was blind, now I see. You know what he's saying? All I know is I used to be one way, and now I'm different because of Jesus Christ. What a testimony. Right to the point. You know, God's work is often clearest to those who experience it personally. This man experienced it personally. Amazing, right? Next week, we'll finish this chapter, and we're going to witness this man giving his life to Christ. What an amazing story. To be continued. Next Sunday, 9:30. Don't be late. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking directly to us, Lord. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us this morning into our hearts, Lord. You never wanted this to be a burden. You just said, come. Just come to me. Believe in me. Trust in me. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me daily, and I'll give you rest. Rest for your souls. Oh, what an invitation to eternal life. We thank you for this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.